You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Opportunities to get to know one another is important, and it's a good step forward. God knew that there was more to the life of a disciple of Christ than just Sunday mornings. Sunday mornings are, without a doubt, crucial. A crucial moment in our week, in our living faith. We come together as the people of God. We worship Him. We give ourselves through our time and talent and treasure. We pray and minister to each other. We open our hearts to the Word of God. And we gather around. It's all of our life, isn't it? It involves all aspects of our life, our work, our savings and investments, if we have such things in these pressing times, our holidays, our serving, our family, our relationships, our involvement in society, our fight for justice, our prayers and our worship. I hope I didn't wake Jude up with a microphone. That would have... Okay. The living faith that God calls us to is more than attendance. And of course, there will be and there is benefit from just attending, no doubt. And people are at different places on their journey. We understand this. We recognize this. But the fullness of faith that God calls us into is a living faith that transforms all of our lives. Part of the beauty of the church is its communal nature. God could have called us to an isolated solo journey, but He didn't. In fact, well, I say interesting. If you nerd out on these kind of theological questions, it's interesting. If not, just pass me by, that's fine. But it's an interesting theological question whether God could have called us to an isolated solo journey. Because by His nature, He is in relationship. We worship the triune God of the Bible, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are in relationship. It's not just what they do, it is part of their essence and nature. It is who they are. So God calls us to Himself in Christ Jesus and invites us and adopts us and baptizes us into one body. And so our faith is meant to be lived with others for it to be full. The communal life is writ large throughout Scripture. You see metaphors of the body and each of us being members and playing our part. Living stones being built together into one house, a family of brothers and sisters before God. Relationship is central to a living faith. And life is designed that way. Life is designed for us to be in relationship, to display God's glory, and to give us joy. A communal life. Doing life together is also our path to flourishing. I began this series a number of weeks back now by proposing two signposts to human flourishing. Love God with all you have and love others as yourself. When Jesus tells us that the law and the prophets hang on these two. So what He was saying is that the whole of the Scripture, as He had it at that point, hang on these two commands. Love God with all that you have. We've got it right there. And love your neighbor as yourself. We need to take it seriously. And if you think about these two, we see two central aspects. Love and relationships. Love covers both sets of relationships, and therefore love spans all that we are, all that we do, and how we need to frame the world we live in, and how desperately important today, right now in our global context, that we see the message of love as the frame, as the lens we understand and make sense of the world we live in. It starts with loving God. This must be our first principle, our first step, and our first love. Love God. Then we see that love extends out to others. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love others. We receive God's love in Christ, and we respond to Him in love, worship, and giving our lives to Him, and we are then empowered to love others. And because love and relationships are so crucial to our flourishing, and they are designed to give God glory and us joy, we are not called to an individual solo faith, but we are called to a body as members. We are built to a building as one of its bricks, and to a family as one of its siblings. We are called to the church. And one of the central ways we work this aspect of church life out here at Jubilee Church is through our small groups. We call them growth groups. And our growth groups exist to enable us to do life together as disciples of Jesus. They provide a context to live into God's design for human flourishing, of loving God and loving others. Our growth groups are small enough that you can develop strong relationships with others. And they're big enough to ensure that you have the necessary amount of people in them to help each of us knock off our hard edges. Do you know what I mean? Small enough that you can be open and appropriately vulnerable with sharing your life with others over time as that trust and that context grows and develops, and big enough that someone is going to be there to encourage you, to strengthen you, to love you, but also to challenge you, to show you a new perspective, and inevitably irritate you. But that's what part of God's design for His church is all about. It's vitally important because it's through others that we learn, that we love, that we suffer and we hurt. We grow and celebrate. We worship, serve, and we flourish. The older I get, the more convinced I become of God's design for His church is such that we find ourselves in relationships with others that He uses to unearth the needs of our hearts and our lives and our actions that need to be transformed. He just has that way of drawing us together in such a way that the muckiness that we often try and cover underneath the carpet begins to come up and bubble up. And so our growth groups provide the context for this to happen, for these relationships to develop, and provides opportunities for you to love God and love others. The groups are our primary point of pastoral care within the church. In our groups, we care for one another. We see others regularly so we can pick up when things are going well. We celebrate our victories together, but we also mourn our bereavements. We pool our knowledge and experience together to benefit others. We meet each other's needs, and we need to be honest and roar with one another. It's a place to show the good, the bad, and the ugly all together. We cry together. We discover the beauty of the scriptures together. We learn how to pray together. We grow in the fruits of the Spirit together. We cook meals for each other and we serve one another. Just in the past 2 or 3 weeks, I've been utterly humbled by my group. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about how in half term I ended up having to fit in and shower a shower enclosure. I injured myself with a bungee and a trampoline, and my fence flew away with Eunice. My group, perhaps because they were worried if I attempted too much DIY on my own, the injuries are going to start to increase in quantum and significance, helped out massively. Duncan came to my house and mentored me through how to install a shower enclosure. Less than a week later, after Storm Eunice, Kenny arrived at 7:30 one morning, and we grafted for 2 days and installed the fence of fences. Whatever name the next storm had, it is not touching my fence. It is something else. Even Toby on the second day, where's Toby, came around to help panels in. It was so humbling. These three guys came and supplied what I lacked. Knowledge, skills, tools, and muscle. That's right, Marion, that's right. There was a whole lot of muscle in my backyard when Kenny and Toby were sitting there. That's why he's busting out of that shirt right now. Come on, Toby. Love it, man. Come on. Show us those guns. Yeah. To be honest, it was a bit intimidating, to be fair. I was just making coffee. Do I have to go out? But in each instance, we worked, we talked, we shared our lives, we prayed. Kenny and I were sitting, standing, just having a coffee break. Kenny was eating large amounts of food. I was just having a coffee. And Samuel had to go off to college, and we prayed for him as he went. They helped me and my family. It was church in action. It was growth groups on display in powerful ways. Even Quinton offered me a hard hat to ensure the likelihood of further head injuries were minimized. Everyone really does have their part to play. But this is a living faith of a growth group in action. Needs met, help offered, personal plans disrupted and inconvenienced to love well. And I know many of you also have similar stories from your groups, going on walks together, meal trains for new parents, meal trains for COVID parents, for grieving spouses, houses cleaned, time invested, children helped, people invited, lunches shared, difficulties journeyed through together. This is what our growth groups are for. This is their purpose, providing the context and the pathway to human flourishing, loving God and loving others. The other amazing aspect of our communal life together, particularly in our groups, is that they demonstrate to the world what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Our growth groups perform a prophetic function each time we meet. And by prophetic, I mean that the beauty that is the church of God is shown and displayed to others every time we meet, every time we gather together to pray, to read the scriptures, to share a meal, to build a fence. Every time we do this, the gospel is shown large in the world and it draws people to Him. I was listening to a sermon this week and the preacher was talking about David Brooks. Some of you may or may not know him. He's a political, cultural commentator in the US. He writes for the New York Times and seems to be in the US at least well known. He's highly educated and respected and more recently gave his life to Christ. And do you know what did it for him? He said this, "When I saw the beauty in the lives of my Christian friends, I knew something was there." He's a New York Times op-ed writer and cultural commentator. He had previously studied. He's a Jew by birth. So he knew the Old Testament scriptures. He had studied apologetics. And yet what God uses to draw him to Christ is the beauty he saw in the people of God, in his Christian friends. The beauty in the lives of you and I. And you all thought you were just coming together to eat cake and pray. But it's true. When we meet, the glory of God is displayed. It proclaims to the world that Jesus is Lord. It displays a beauty to the world around us that draws people to Christ. And we eat cake and pray. We also recognize that all are welcome. That means we're all gathered into a family, all equally invited, all equally forgiven, all equally loved. And it's right at that point that if we grasp the beauty that I was just mentioning, those who are once other, those who are once strangers, become family. And God uses that family, uses that former otherness, that former strangeliness about other people to shape us and to form us. And perhaps, just perhaps, that is why the church isn't made up of people only like you. Can you imagine it? A church just of people just like you. Now, some of you might be having attention thinking, yeah, that'd be a pretty good church, actually. And others would be going, oh, my goodness. But can you imagine it? The blind spots that we would have. Hey, you're just like me. And so are you. You're just like me. And you also see the world just like me. And you know Jesus just like me, and on and on and on. But God has so much more for us than that. God will use your brothers and sisters to help you grow, help you mature, and help you become like Christ. And very often it's with an outstretched hand to help you up and to strengthen. Very often it's with a hug to love and to care. Very often it's through a meal shared, a fence built, a shower enclosure put in, and a walk taken together. And in God's mercy and love for us, just often enough, because he has mercy, it will be through a brother and a sister, or a sister who are different to you. And it's that difference that so often unearths the muckiness that we kind of hide under the carpet. It's when we come into the presence of the other and something is said or done and there's a response in us that you think, oh, where did that come from? And God will use that otherness. God will use a brother or a sister who has had a different experience to you, who comes from a different family, who comes from a different nation, who comes from a different background, so that you can be transformed more and more into the image of Christ. And it's at that moment, if we grasp the beauty that I'm talking about here, that we'll receive that brother or sister as a gift from God and a mirror into our souls. The members of the church, the members of our groups who are different to us are used by God to unearth the hidden muckiness in our lives, the hidden prejudices and preferences that only really come out in the light of the other. And it's a gift. It may not feel it at the time, but they are a gift from God. It might indeed feel like, because of the response that's come up in you, because of the other, all you want to do is shred that person in front of you. But if you capture that right there, hold that emotion and begin to reflect, what is going on? It's a gift from God. And And we get to ask ourselves if we rather don't switch on the light, pull on the charge, turn the engine on and just tear into someone, but rather we say, what's going on here? Is this a godly response that I should be having in this situation? As Sean always says, is it my stuff? Is it their stuff? Or is it the situation? Such good questions to ask yourself in that moment of, is this my stuff, their stuff, or the situation? But whatever it may be, getting through those questions, if we hold ourselves at that moment, receive the gift of God of our brothers and sisters who are different to us, we can grow and mature and become Christ-like in powerful ways. We ask ourselves, why has that triggered me in this way? God loves you that much that he will bring brothers and sisters into your life that are different to you to complete the good work he started in you. And our growth groups provide the context, a great context for this to happen. Doing life together as disciples of Jesus, our groups are grounded in the context of love and relationships. We need a context where those relationships can grow so that we can engage in this kind of transformation. Engaging with love such that you allow the other in. And engaging in God such that you see your brothers and sisters as God's gift to you, as a mirror to your soul and as part of your transformation into Christ-likeness. And all of that happens in our growth groups. Ever since I became a disciple of Jesus, I've been in a group. I love the group that I'm in right now. And that doesn't mean it was always outstandingly wonderful. It's a journey like any relationship, but I love being in this group. I know without them, my journey would have been poorer. My faith would have been weaker, and I would have been less Christ-like. They've brought to me such a richness. I've seen things from different perspectives, seen Christ in new ways, prayed for situations that are beyond my world and beyond my reach, and journeyed with them as they've journeyed with me through various trials and tests. We've read the Bible together, for some of us for the very first time. We have prayed together, for some of us for the very first time. We have discussed the sermon together and asked, what am I to do differently tomorrow because I've been challenged by the Word of God today? We've cooked meals for each other, shared afternoons together, walked in the woods together, shared our vulnerabilities, our weaknesses, our successes, and our joys. And at every step of the way, no matter what has been spoken, no matter what has been said, no matter what we've shared from our backgrounds, and yes, this takes time to build up and to gather that point and develop that context of trust, but no matter what's been shared of our backgrounds, and some of us sitting here, maybe all of us, probably have that point in our background which we rather people didn't know about. What would they think of if? How would they think of me if? But as we've gone into this, everyone's been met by acceptance and love and forgiveness, compassion and fun from God and from others. We don't get me wrong. We are not perfect and we stumble over each other sometimes and we have fun and there's acceptance and love, but sometimes we irritate, sometimes we hurt, sometimes we unintentionally say the wrong thing. And our groups need to be this place of realness and rawness where we bring our lives into it. We explore and discover the scriptures together in the messiness of our lives. We recognize that we're all on a journey and we're becoming Christ-like, but we're certainly not there yet. We encourage and strengthen one another. We care for one another and love one another. We pastor and guide one another. We worship and pray together. We read the Bible and discover God's story together. And this must go on in the very real, very raw messiness of our lives. We don't put on our moral masks for a couple of hours on Wednesday to try and convince others that we've got our life together. How exhausting would that be? No, we come together with toddlers screaming, with work pressures building, with marriage relations fraying, but also with victories won and breakthroughs experiences and promotions granted. It is all of life, all of the time. All in pursuit of loving God and loving others. All in pursuit of doing life together as disciples of Jesus. And so my question to all of us this morning, is that the kind of community you want to be involved in? Is that the kind of growth group that you want to be involved in? I do hope so. And towards that end, we are refreshing our groups. And to begin this process, we have put together a short questionnaire to fill in. Just want to thank all the growth group leaders who input into that as we gather back into this week. We want to gather information from the whole church as to the types and the times and the days and focuses of the groups that you want. So, fingers crossed, technology is going to work. Sean's going to send you an SMS or an email right now with a link on it to fill in this question. Oh, I like that sound. It's a good sound. Normally it's not so good, but it's a good sound in church today. So please, if you that is smart, then email or a text message. But for those of you, I won't comment on or have any shame, any kind of device in this hall, but we've got print copy. I've got paper copies. And Sean, why don't you put anyone for a paper copy? There we go. Great. Come and give it out to you. And we are going to do this right now, people. Right now. It's not, okay, I'm going to do that at home. We're going to give over 5 minutes to doing this right now. And this will help us get the group where leaders out there that we don't know. Whether you are in a group or not in a group, can you please fill this out? Because it would be really helpful. Even if you positively join a group, please, because that will be useful information for us to know why. So let's take, I'm going to give you a few minutes, fill out this form, and then we're going to go into a time of worship and communion.